How many of you want to live the abundant life? Are you sure? How many of you want to live the abundant life? How many of you want prosperity? Blessings? Healing in your body? Unity in your family? You have to learn how to go there. You have to learn how to go. We have to learn how to go and dwell there. So no, someone already took that title of place called there. So God just told me there. Because I said to him, a place there. Stay there. Well, he said, just there. See, we wonder why things aren't going the way we think they should go. We're wondering why we're going through so much turmoil. Well, first of all, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations. He said, you will have. But be not dismayed. I've overcome the world. And I love the translation that says, I've taken away its power to harm you. And we think that that's everywhere we go. In a sense, we're right, but it's most effective when you are there. You have to learn how to be there. Pastor, you keep saying there. What are you talking about? Go to Genesis 22. You didn't pray. Denise, Minister Denise prayed. And I'm not going to pray just out of ritual. But this, I'm sharing this out of the Message Bible. Someone told me about a person that referred to the Message Bible as the Kool-Aid Bible. It reads, after all this, starting in verse 22, God tested Abraham. I'm sorry, verse 1. God said, Abraham, yes, answered Abraham, I'm listening. He said, take your dear son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I'll point out to you. Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young servants and his son Isaac. He had split wood for the burnt offering. He set out for the place God had directed him. On the third day, say third day.
Third day.
When do you think Abraham knew it was going to take 3 days? When God told him. He knew where how far it was away from Moriah. On the third day, he looked up and saw the place in the distance. So after 3 days' travel, he still had a long way to go. Abraham told his two young servants, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I are going over there to worship. Then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and gave it to Isaac, his son, to carry. He carried the flint and the knife, and the two of them went off together. Isaac said to Abraham, his father, Father, yes, my son, we have flint and wood, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering? See, this is why I like reading in different translations. Because in the Message Bible, Abraham said, son, God will see to it that there's a sheep for the burnt offering. God will see to it that you have what you need to keep going. And they kept on walking together. They walked together. They arrived at the place to which God had directed him. Abraham built an altar. He laid out the wood. Then he tied up Isaac and laid him on the wood. That's a miracle. Abraham reached out and took the knife to kill his son. Just then, an angel of God called to him out of heaven, Abraham, Abraham, yes, I'm listening. Don't lay a hand on that boy. Don't touch him. Now I know how fearlessly You fear God. You didn't hesitate to place your son, your dear son, on the altar for me. Abraham looked up. He saw a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. Abraham took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham named this place, we know it's Jehovah Jireh, but the Message Bible says God Jireh. God sees to it. That's where we get the saying on the mounting of God, he sees it. And that's a wonderful Bible account, and you're probably wondering, why did I share it? What did God want Abraham to do? He wanted him to sacrifice his son. Often we stop right there, but there was more to it. Where did he want his son sacrificed? Abraham knew he knew the territory where he lived, I'm sure. And God said, go to the land of Moriah. I know he knew where that was. As you tell me, go to the Freedom Tower. I know where that is. You want me, God, you want me to walk there? Can I take a bus, car, something? Why am I going there? Who are you going to sack? I want you to go there and pray. I can pray right here. Why do I have to go all the way into Lower Manhattan to do what I can do right here? Think about what happened in that account. God wanted a sacrifice. He told Abraham, don't touch the boy. What did Abraham find? What was the ram doing in Moriah? What happens if Abraham stops at another mountain along the way and says, this is a good place to sacrifice? Two things might have happened. One, his son might be dead because God was speaking to him at Moriah. He wasn't speaking with him along the way. Go to Moriah. Then God goes. And waits for you to get there. The point I'm trying to make, folks, God will send his blessing for you to a place. Then he will tell you, go to that place. You're wondering, where's your blessing? It's at that place God told you to go to that you don't want to go. So you're not going, you're not moving. And you know something? The blessing of the Lord's not moving either. It's yours. It's yours. It's all yours, but you have to go there to get it. One of our children was blessed, most of you know the story, with finances to go to college. But they had to go to the school where God wanted them to go, the school where God sent the blessing. If they'd gone to another school, even if they were providing some sort of financial aid, it would not have worked. Why? Because the blessings were over here, and they would have gone over there. How many of you know Apostle Mike Keyes? When he came out of Bible school, he went to Rhema Bible Training, then it was Training Center. God told him to go to the Philippines. He knew nothing. He had no connections, really, in the Philippines. He had a round-trip ticket and $20. No, I'm sorry, he had a one-way ticket and $20 to his name. And he went to the Philippines. He wasn't Apostle Mike then. He was just Mike Keyes. Many, 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 many churches, many, many, many pastors go to him for advice. And thousands of people have been saved because he was there. He was there. You have to learn how to put away your preferences. If you think I wanted to be a pastor. You must be high. If you think my wife wanted to be a pastor's wife, you're even higher. I didn't want to hear about a calling of mine. Somebody better call you away from me. But stuff in my life wasn't working, suddenly. And my mommy told me, she called me over for one of her serious meetings. She said, son, you need to give your life to Christ. And I was arrogant. I said, why? She started telling me all the benefits. I said, how come it's not working for you? You know, I had to be of some size because when I was young, I'd have never said that to mommy. But I said to her, what has that done? How does that work? And she said, all I know is that God told me to tell you, you have to get your life in order. And the only way to do that is to give it to him. Then what'll happen if I don't? She said, son, you lose everything. I looked at her and said, I'll take my chances. And left. Very arrogant. I'd never been arrogant with her, period, much less like that. It was deep. I didn't know where it was coming from, to be honest with you. Within 2 years, I lost everything. Got divorced, all sorts of stuff and mess, and I just went nuts. Changed my identity. Went from Gregory to being Foots, because Gregory wouldn't dare do those things, but Foots had no restrictions. I didn't know that I had to go there. I didn't know. And then when I went there, after meeting then Phyllis, now Minister Phyllis, then Walcott, now Carr. Met her under some unusual circumstances. She told me about the church. And I said, I'll go. You know, most of you know the story. I said, I'll go to church one time. I'm not going to feel anything. No ghost is going to come on me. He said, well, why are you going? Because I try and do what I say I'm going to do. And I said, I'd go to church. So I went there, and everything God had waiting for me, everything that he wanted for me, was there. Everyone teases me now. They say, you said you're only going one time. I said, I did go once. I just never left when I got there. Why? I recognized there and realized, you know, it's hard. Somebody needs to hear this. It's hard to walk around with an attitude all of the time. You can't afford to be happy. You can't. I thought someone was always trying to take advantage of me, so it could never put your guard down. So it's like you're in a fight and you're always walking around like this. Actually, it's more like this. Because the left hand has to get out there and dab. Somebody should have told that to Mike Tyson in the last fight. But Abraham named that place God Jireh. We say Jehovah Jireh. That's what King James says. But what's most important is the translation. On the mountain of God, it shall be seen. What? Everything you're believing for will be on the mountain of God. It didn't say on your mountain. It said on the mountain of God. Where God dwells, so dwells everything that you need to get through this life. Everything. On the mountain of God, it will be seen. On the mountain of God, he sees to it. God gave direction. Abraham received the direction. Now he has to make a choice. How many of you have GPS systems in the car, your cars? How many of you always use them? Does the GPS system know more than you? See, some say yes, some say no, they're not sure. I heard when I don't know where I'm going. I don't know who said it, but I'm glad you said it, because that leads us to another area. A lot of times we think we know. We think we know. How many of you have ever caught yourself saying, this is how God works with me? How many? I have also. There's a problem with that. Whatever happened to, behold, I will do a new thing. You only allow God to work with you one way? It's not that God is working with you one way, it's that you're only listening one way. That one way is comfortable to you, so you want God to put everything into your box. And you don't go to that place. You don't go there. How many of you took a flight? Have you taken a flight? Yeah. Checked your baggage? Yeah. When you came out, was the baggage sitting at the right side of the plane waiting for you? No. You had to go there where the bags are to claim what's yours. It's been yours all along. Hallelujah. It remains yours, but it's in a different place. Yes. And they have signs, baggage claim. And you have to follow those signs to get what's yours. We don't do that with the word. We don't do that with the word. We like going this way. Even though the baggage rack is over there in the back of the parking lot. We don't want to go to the back of the parking lot. You think I'm going to walk all the way back there to get what's mine? And we go walking in this direction, wondering, where's the bags? There. You got to get there. And here's something that's interesting. I remember Deacon Cecilia shared this just before she went home. She talked about an analogy Pastor Sarah used about the luggage carousel. What belongs to you keeps going around and around. Nobody can take it. It's yours. However long it takes you to get to it, it's still yours. It's still there. And if they remove it from the carousel, they put it in a special room until you come and get it. It's labeled. It has your name, your address, the destination where you came from. If it's a connecting flight, well, you don't have to worry about it if it's a connecting flight. You don't have to worry about it anyway. All you have to do is go, follow the sign. The sign says, baggage claim. And go and get what belongs to you. But we don't want to go there. That's too far. So we find ways to violate. We find ways to violate airport protocol. How many carry-on are you allowed? And one personal item. We put it in three. Because we don't want to go to baggage check. We cause a problem for other folks who are following the rules, and they get there's no room in the overhead compartment. Why? Because some people put three bags in there instead of the one and the other one under the seat. Abraham knew the region of Moriah was a 6-day trip there and back. 6 days to do what? To sacrifice? Why do I have to walk six days to let God know that I love him? I could tell him that from right here. Aha. But what did God say? What did Jesus tell us? If you love me, you'll do what I say. So are we saying that we will only love God when it's convenient for us? I'll love God as long as I don't have to go out of my way. There. He knew, he probably knew how, of all of the mountains that were closer to his location. I was looking it up on a map last night. That was a distance. That was a distance. The mountains may have been closer than Moriah, but you know what? There wouldn't have been a ram in the bush. Because the ram was sent to Moriah. God told him to go to perform a specific task when he got there. I looked up the definition for the word there. It just means in or at that place, to or into that place. That's what there means. You're at that place. What place? That place where God told you to go. I remember once we were going to Orlando and God said, don't fly. And I'm like, you want me to drive to Orlando? Are you serious, Lord? And then I said, okay, I'll do it, but I'm not driving to Orlando in a Taurus. You got to give me something bigger than that. And I'm only going to pay about $300 for the rental because I knew you couldn't get anything bigger than a Taurus for $300. So God's going to say, okay, you can fly. I called every car dealership except Hertz. I didn't call Hertz because everybody knows they're the most expensive. So if Avis and Enterprise and Alamo and all these others didn't have a car, why am I going to call a place that I know is more expensive? I'm like, well, God, I guess we have to fly because nobody, you didn't call Hertz. So I call Hertz and they were going to give me a luxury car for $304. Now I gotta drive. And I arranged the pickup and all of that stuff. Told them I wanted the car at 12:30. I was supposed to pick up my wife at 2. 12:30 came, 12:45, 1 o'clock, 1:15, no car. I go to the counter, where's the car? It's on the way. Another hour passed by. Meanwhile, there's this guy, make them give you a new car, he's just yapping. He heard me say, pass the car. And when it finally I said, look, where is this car coming from? It was 10 miles away. It's this alleged location. The guy finally gets there. Nice, bright, shiny Taurus. Taurus. Let's see, I own two of these. I'm not going to rent a Taurus. You have to do something. Well, they had a Trailblazer that they used to bring, and it was filthy. I didn't care because now it's 3:30, a quarter to four. My wife's still waiting on a corner in Harlem. Bottom line is the guy said, I'll give you the trailblazer. I won't charge you any more for it. It was filthy. He said, just get it clean and give me a receipt. That's fine. I took the car. Guess what happened on the drive down to Florida? Nothing. Nothing. Guess who was mad at God? I'm upset with God that nothing happened. God, you told me to drive. Yes, I did. I drove. How'd you like the car? Well, it was nice and all that, but we still drove. I think 2.5 days. It's been 2 nights in hotels that I wasn't planning on spending. God didn't tell me till we got back, and I was quiet. And he said, why are you so upset that you had to drive? Well, nothing happened. I thought I'd hear about some mishap or something. So you wanted something to happen? No. Did you ever stop to think that was the point? He said, what did you do? We drove. We stopped at south of the border. We went, took a side journey into Georgia. South Carolina. Yeah, I think that's where south of the border is. It's somewhere over there. And the point of all this was, nothing happened. And the reason nothing happened is because we were where we were supposed to be. I'm convinced if I'd gotten on a plane, something would have happened, because I'm not supposed to be there. I'm supposed to be in the car driving to Orlando. And we had such a great time driving to Orlando. Why am I telling you that? Look at 1 Kings 17. Because it's not always, we want, God bless me. It ain't always about us. And why are you asking God for something he's already done? He's already blessed us. The problem is we've walked away from where the blessing is. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, that means get out of here, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink from the brook. That's fine, nothing that unusual about that. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Now, wait a minute. Those are nasty scavengers. And you expect me to eat what they bring? No. Verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now, these ravens were not chefs. They didn't take food, cook it, and bring it. The Bible says they brought flesh. What's that? Sushi. And he drank from the brook, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came with him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Too many of us would say, a widow woman? They don't have anything. How are they going to sustain me the way I am accustomed to being sustained? I know you had ravens, but ravens have more access to food than a widow woman. Widow women during that time had nothing. and they were dependent on other people to take care of them. But God told him to go there. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." So this woman was planning the death of her family. And Elijah said to her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make thee for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." That statement's not made if he's not there. But let's continue. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. My goodness. I just saw something, folks. According to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. There are neighborhoods, their families, their people, their circumstances that need to have the word of God spoken over them. We're not doing it because we're not there to receive the word. We weren't there. We have to be there so we can get what God sent there. See, God loves people. And he sends what he needs the people to hear. He poured his word into me for you this morning. Yes. I had to come here. Yes. If I'm not here, you don't get this word. Yes. You may get a word, but you can't get the word that I'm supposed to deliver. Amen. Why? Because I'm going to deliver it the way God has me deliver the word.
Yes.
And he has me deliver it to this group of people because this group of people will receive from me. That's why, folks, sometimes a traveling minister or evangelist will come in and say the same thing your pastors have been saying for centuries. And all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, I never knew that. It's been taught here since the beginning."
Yes. Yes.
But the right voice needed to come in.
Yes.
And God told those right voices, go.
Yeah.
They have to come. Where they have to go? There. They have to go there.
Yes.
God has the download. And then you have to come here. And what's been downloaded comes out for you to receive. According to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. And it came to pass that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was sore, that means it was serious, that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What do I have to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son?" And he said to her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode and laid upon his own bed. And he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." And the Lord heard the verse of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And listen to what the woman said. Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is true. By Elijah going there and doing what he was supposed to do when he got there, opened the widow woman's eyes, where now she knows there's a God. She knows. There are places where people are praying for folks like you to show up, because they want to know that there is a God and that he cares about them, he loves them, and that he works through you. They need to know that you're carriers of God's word. You're carriers of love. You're carriers of power. You're carriers of miracles. You're carriers of healings. You carry everything that they need, but you have to go there and get it so you can give it. The reason we're not giving it is because we haven't gotten it. And the reason we haven't gotten it is because we don't go where we need to go so we can get the word and put it into operation. Because the first person that needs proof that the word works is you. I know the word works, really. Why are you bringing people to church to get healed? Jesus didn't say, these things will those that preach my word do, take everybody to church and let them get saved. No. These signs shall follow them that believe. They, not your pastor, they shall cast out devils. I'm not going to that. There's a lot of demonic activity in that area. That's because you're not there. I'm supposed to go there? Yes. You are. Why do I have to go? Because God said so. You are the one that the people will receive from. You are the one that the angels will fear. They'll see the Christ working through you. But you have to go. Abraham didn't say, God, give me the money. Give me my provisions. He told Elijah where the provisions were. No, I'm not going to give you anything along the way, but when you get there, ravens are going to feed you. When you get there, a widow woman is going to take care of you. When you get there, if he told you to go, your trip there is already arranged. You just have to go. You just have to go. Unconditionally. Why say it that way, Pastor? But there's only one criteria that you need to be concerned about. Only one. What do you think that is? Did God send you? I know, Lord, I'll say what you tell me to say. And I won't pull any punches, so you won't have to pull me from the lineup. It's time to stop using the excuses, these fabricated excuses, to stop doing what God told you to do. God knows the job you have because he gave it to you. But he didn't give it to you for you to make that job a God. You have to just buck up and go. Trusting, okay, all right. The reason you're not going is because you don't have any faith. You don't believe God's going to take care of you, so you want to see all this proof in place before you go. The only proof you're going to get is in God's word. What word that he told you to go? That the Lord is my strength and my shield. We'll sing the song, do we do the act? Well, Lord, you said the steps of a good man are ordered by you. That's right, you're a good man, and I just ordered you to go. Now get a step in. My God, why are you coming down on us? He said he's not coming down, he's bringing us up.
Yes.
He's pointing out things that have held us down, and that's why we are where we are right now. Though we are in a good place, we're not in the place. How do you know? They're not beating down the doors to get in. So that means they're not enough seeing what goes on in here. They don't see it. Now, there's some I'm aware of that are going and go play. We have groups that go 3 or 4 missionary trips a year. They go where God tells them, and that's fine. But that's not everybody. The widow woman said, by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth. That's in thy mouth is truth. People need to know that what we say is the truth. And the only way they're going to know that is if we go where we're supposed to go and do what we're supposed to do, because the Bible tells us that Jesus works with us, confirming the word we share with indisputable proof. Indisputable proof. We have to be in or at that place. We have to be into that place. Sometimes God doesn't say go there, he says go thither. Thither is not a lisp or something that cuts paper. Go thither. That means to go into. So sometimes we have to go there, sometimes we have to go into places we don't want to go. Jesus had to go to the cross. He had to. He had to go into hell and stay there 3 days. He had to. Not for his benefit, for us. If he doesn't go there, we're not sitting in here. I'm out of time, but I gotta tell you this. Because I know we've been talking Old Testament examples. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. If you don't go there in Christ, you don't become a new creature. Old things stay with you. Nothing becomes new. You have to be there. The blessing that the result of being a new creature in Christ is the result of being in Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody gets to the Father unless they go through me. Nobody. So we have to go there if we want to get what God promised. We have to go through Christ. I'm a good person. Be a better person. Be an obedient person. And go there. Because it didn't say you'll get to Christ. You'll get to God if you're a good person. You have to go through the way, the truth, and the life. I'll close out with this. Genesis 22:15-18 in the Message Bible. The angel of God spoke from heaven a second time to Abraham. I swear God's sure word, because you have gone through with this and have not refused to give me your son, your dear son, I'll bless you. Oh, how I'll bless you. I'll make sure that your children flourish like stars in the sky, like sand on the beaches, and your descendants will defeat their enemies. All nations on earth will find themselves blessed through your descendants because you obeyed me. That happens, folks, because you go there. And you follow the instructions you got while you were there. You can't stay here. You got to go there. And the Pastor Greg isn't saying get out of the church. Nope. You came here. You were loaded with ammunition. Now it's war games are over. This country needs a strong church. Yes. This country needs a you're right, Minister D. This world needs a strong church, an obedient church. They need a church where they go where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to do. They don't need to see a church worried about this country's economy and policies and social stories and all this nonsense. God said to us, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. He didn't say, count on your government to do everything for you. He said, pray for those in authority that we may live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. That's what he said. We need to stop paying attention to social issues and be about going places and taking care of spiritual requirements that you were given by your father. It matters not whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. I've said this before. Your political affiliation doesn't matter. Are you affiliated with the church? Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Did God say he would supply all our need? So why are we getting upset about proposals for Social Security and all these other stuff? God said he would supply our every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. His riches. We have to go there. We have to go there. Hunt your neighbor and say, we have to go there. I will do a new thing, says the Lord. Won't you understand it? I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And when God does that new thing in you, it's because you made a choice to be there. Father, we thank you. We give you alone all the glory, honor, and praise. You are God, and above you there is no other. Beside you there is no other. Father, we repent for not going where you sent us. We repent, Lord. We didn't know. Now we know. And because we know, we will go. We will do just what Jesus said. We'll go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We'll lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. We'll cast out devils. We'll speak in new tongues. And if we drink any deadly thing, it will not harm us because we know who we are and we are where we are supposed to be. And that securely is in Christ. And we thank you that every in Christ reality is ours. We thank you because Jesus said he's in us just like God is in him. We're all one. So where he goes, we go. Where he sends us, we go. We just go. We just go. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbor, we have no excuse. We've got to go there. Now, as I shared a few moments ago, Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes unto the Father except by him. Nobody. Nobody. He said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? By Christ Jesus. You have to be in Christ. How do you get to be in Christ? The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Is there anyone here who's not saved? Never received Jesus Christ as Savior. But you know, after hearing what God had for you to hear today, you need to be in Christ. Is there anyone here? Just raise your hand. I'm going to lead you in a confession. And it's not just eternal life. Well, that's a biggie. Because I can't imagine when Apostle Mike Keyes was here, he gave us a little illustration concerning spending eternity in hell. He said, go to the kitchen, turn up the stove, put your finger on the flame and see how long you can hold it there. And imagine having that feeling forever. Forever. Are you trying to scare me? No, I'm trying to get you to think and realize this isn't playtime.